All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today, finishing one perek. Bishato Maslachas, beginning a new one. We are picking up on daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Today's daf is 66. Let's pick up Samech Hamid Bay 65B, the last two lines there. The Gemara says, so Omer Hayy Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon Shamati Bechatasov. So remember again, we were really engaged in a fascinating discussion, the distinction between Chatas Sof and Ola Sof. Now the distinction that the Gemara is drawing on over here is as follows, that Ola Sof Rabbi Osai, you have to cut both Simanim, right? Remember you have to do Malika with both Simanim, the Kana and the Vashet, and you detach the head from the body of the bird. Chatas Sof, on the other hand, only requires one Simen, and Dafka, the head is not detached from the body. Comes along Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and says as follows, Omer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Shamati Bechatas Ha'of, I heard that when it comes to Chatas Ha'of, Shemavdilin, ultimately again, that you do detach the head from the body. Umay lo yavdil, but say here's only one problem with this. Only one problem is, the Pasuk seems to clearly indicate that by Chatas Ha'of, you do not detach the head from the body. So what does Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon do with the Pasuk of Lo Yavdil? Tap of Samech Vav, in Tzarech Lahavdil. What it means is you don't have to separate the head from the body. But if you did separate the head from the body, B'di'evad, the carbon is still kosher. So even though the Torah says Lo Yavdil, you shouldn't do it, the way we're interpreting you shouldn't is what? You don't have to. But if you did it, ultimately the carbon is kosher. So this is a very dangerous drasha. Why is this a dangerous drasha? Because now what you're telling me is, any time the Torah says you don't do something, the way we translate don't do it is what? You don't have to do it. But if you did it, it's okay. So if that's the case, Ela me'ata, we'll say second line, Samech Vav Amud Aleph, Ela me'ata, Gabi Bar. We'll say, so now let's take this, let's analyze by a pit. What's the halacha by a pit? Chsiv lo yichasenu. So we'll say the Torah says, v'lo yichasenu. So we'll say the Torah speaks about the idea that if a person opens up a pit and he doesn't cover it, v'lo yichasenu, he fails to cover it, the nafal shama sharacham, and a person, or I should say an animal falls in, so balabar, the owner of the pit, is chayiv. So you're telling me then, when the Torah says, if you didn't cover it, hachanami, dein tzarech lechasos, are you telling me then, by pit or bosai, when the Torah says, if he didn't cover it, so maybe ultimately, again, what that refers to is, that he's lechatchila should cover it, but b'di'evad, he doesn't have to cover it, hachi hashta, the Gemara says, hachi hashta, see here the kasha, you're telling me, when the Torah says, if you didn't do something, so it just means, l'chatchila, you should do it, but if you didn't do it, it's fine. So therefore, by the pit, l'chatchila, you should cover it, but if you didn't cover it, it's okay. How could that be? L'maisa, again, if I uncovered the pit, I created a source of damage. I don't have to remedy it. Hachi ashta hasam, kevan dechsev balabar yishalem, ilu yehud rami l'chasuye. So we'll say, here's the difference. By the bar, by the pit, so the Torah explicitly says that if I opened up a pit and something falls into my pit, bal habar yishalim, the owner of the pit is obligated to pay for the damages. Ilu yehu dirami lechasuyeh, it's obvious then that I have the obligation to cover it because the Torah imposes financial damages upon me. Aval hocha, Rebosa, in the case of the chatas ha'uf, aval hocha michti ksiv, v'hikrivo, the pasuk says, you shall offer it. Chilek hakosov bein chatas sa'of la'ola sa'of. The Torah is clearly making a distinction between the chatas sa'of and the ola sa'of. If that's the case, lo, so we'll say, telling me that what? That ultimately, again, the ola sa'of, the head is fully removed from the body. Chatas sa'of, the head is not. If that's the case, lo yavdil lamali, why does the Torah have to go out of its way to say, you don't have to separate the head of the body, the head from the body, by the chatas? In other words, we'll say, if the Torah already made the distinction between chatas sa'of and ola sa'of, it would appear that the phrase of lo yavdil is extraneous. I don't need that phrase. If that's the case, why is that phrase there? Lamali, shmamina in tzarech lahavdil. It tells me that, what are we saying? It tells me that halacha lemaisa, I don't have to detach the head from the body of the chatas sa'of, but indeed if I did so, the carbon will still be kosher. So we'll say, It's interesting. That seems to be where the Gemara ends off. It appears that the conclusion of the Gemara is that halacha l'maisa, by olas ha'uf, you have to remove the head from the body. By chatas ha'uf, you don't have to remove the head from the body. But if you did remove the head from the body, the carbon is kosher. Now we're going to see what the halacha l'maisa is in the Rambam in just a little bit. Let's just finish off the Gemara. Mitza dam ha'guf. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the following idea, that in the case of olas ha'uf, so the idea is that you have to go ahead and squeeze out the blood from the body or from the head onto the kir, onto the side of the mizbeach. So Gemara discusses this. Tan Rabbanan, Ola afa pi shemitza dam haguf velo mitza dam harosh. So we'll say the halacha is by Ola Sa'uf, even though you squeezed out the blood of the body onto the side of the mizbeach, but you did not squeeze out the blood from the head, the carbon is still kosher. Yocho mitza dam harosh velo mitza dam haguf. I might have thought that it would have been enough if I just squeezed out the blood from the head, but not the blood from the body. So the Gemara says, Talmud lomar hu. Therefore, the pasuk says hu to teach me that no, that although lechatchila I should be squeezing out both the blood from the head and the blood from the body on the side of the mizbeach, as long as by Ola Sa'of I squeezed out the blood from the body, that is enough. Even if I didn't squeeze out the blood of the head. Where do I learn that out from? From the phrase or from the word hu. So my Talmudah, the Gemara says, I don't understand how I'm making a drasha based on hu. How does that teach me, Rabosa? How does hu teach me that halacha l'maisa, as long as I squeezed out the blood from the body, that is going to be enough, even if I didn't squeeze out the blood from the head? To which the Gemara says, Amravina mistabra derov damim beguf shchichi. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, Ravina says, I'll tell you why it makes sense. It makes sense that ultimately, again, I need to squeeze out the blood of the body. Why, Rabosai? Because the majority of the blood of the bird is going to be found in the body and not in the head. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, Rabosai, by Ola Sa'uf, as much as I'm supposed to squeeze out both the blood from the head and from the body on the Mizbeach, as long as me'ikra din, I squeezed out the blood from the body, ultimately, the carbon is kosher. So, we'll say, so just I sent out on WhatsApp all of these Rambams that we're going to focus on today. You don't have to look inside. I'll just read to you very quickly. So, we'll say, so what is the process for Ola Sa'uf? Because here, the Gemara is going ahead and closing it out. So the Gemara says, so the Rambam says in Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos Halacha Chaf as follows. I'm just going to read to you very quickly. Ola Sa'uf Ketzer Haisenasis. So we'll say, now I'm going to give you the halacha. If you're going to walk away with anything from the shir, I want you to know how to do Ola Sa'uf. That's if somebody stops you and says, by the way, 30-second rundown. How do you do Ola Sa'uf? You should be able to spit it back like that. So here we go, we'll say, Ola Sa'uf Ketzer Haisenasis. How did you perform the mitzvah of Ola Sa'uf? Ola the kevesh upon the sobeif. Of all the Karen Diramis Mizrachis, via Molik Shamas Rosha Mimul Arpa Mathus. We'll say number one, you call him would ascend the ramp, go to the southeast corner. In the southeast corner, you do Malika from the back of the neck. Vimlo Hivdil Psula. So we'll say number one, Malika is done from the back of the neck with the fingernail of the Kohen. Number two, Halacha Lamaisa, the head must be fully detached. Remember again, this is by Ola Sa'uf. By Ola Sa'uf, head must be fully detached. And Rabbi Sa'alocha, if you have to go ahead and what? Squeeze out the blood from the head and from the body on the Mizbeach. Where is it done on the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Sa'alocha, it's done on the side of the Mizbeach. From where? From the Chut HaSikra. The red line and up, above the red line. And I will say, if you only went ahead and squeezed out the blood from the head, but not the blood from the body, the carbon is pasul. This is what we just learned. But if you squeezed out the blood from the body, but not the blood from the head, the carbon is going to be kosher. So again, here's what we've got. Doing up the ramp, southeast corner, do malika out the southeast corner. Entire head has to be detached. Go ahead and squeeze out the blood from the head and the body. But b'dieved, as long as what? You squeezed out the head from the body, you're good to go. Okay, so we'll say he goes on, he says, He goes on here to deal about removing the inner parts. V'shisa oso b'chnafav. You go ahead and you open up the animal without a sakin, and you have to tear it into two without tearing it apart. V'mhivdil kasher. So ketzad molkin kotzeitz v'yar b'tziporim will oref. Imratza l'holichu l'havi sabosa. Then the Rambam just goes on with the rest of the halachos concerning Malika. Good. So that's pretty much Ola Sa'of in a nutshell. Hadrin aloch kotshei kadoshim. We'll say mazal tov. New parak. Chatas ha'of sha'as salamatas. We'll say now we're going to discuss about various psulim within these offerings. So here we go. Chatas ha'of sha'as salamata. So we'll say, remember again, kima'ase chatas l'shem chatas kshera. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting verbiage. So the Mishnah says, now we're jumping back to chatas ha'of. Okay, so now I'm offering up a chatas ha'of sha'asa lamata, which means, Rabbi saying that the blood was sprinkled below the chotas sigra, below the red line. Now we already know, where is the blood of the chatas ha'of sprinkled? It is indeed sprinkled below the line. Remember again, ola sa'of is above the line, chatas ha'of is below the line. So now I have a chatas ha'of sha'asa lamata, whose blood was sprinkled below the red line, kima'ase chatos, and it was done in accordance with a chatos, l'shem chatos, for the sake of chatos. So in other words, we'll say, what's happening over here? You're actually doing everything right. Right? You're actually doing, it's a very novel case. It's interesting, by the way, the way the Mishnah spells it out. I'm sprinkling a chatos in accordance with a chatos, l'shem chatos, and ultimately, again, in the process of a chatos. In other words, I've done a chatos. So we'll say, what's that? Locha, kshera. So the carbon is good. But say, if you look at Rashi says over kema sechatos melika besimen echad v'haza umitzui. So we'll say, in this case over here, I'm sprinkling the blood below the line. I'm having kavana for achatos. I'm doing melika of only one simen, leaving the head attached to the carbon. Life is good. The world is as it should be. I've done a proper chatos and it's kosher. Next. We'll say, what happens if I bring a bird offering and I go ahead and I do the process as if it was a chatos, which Rabbi will say all of it, which we've seen already in the previous parak. I've done it in accordance with the carbon chatos, but l'shem ola, I go ahead and I have in mind for it to be as an ola, kima'ase ola, and I've done it. I've done a maisa ola. So we'll have to see exactly what that means. Ibarash is going to tell us what that is. Kima'asa ola, or l'shem chatos kima'asa ola, or I've done it again for shem chatos, but I've done procedurally like an ola, or l'shem ola psula. So we'll say, in all of these cases, what's happening over here? I'm offering a chatas ha'of, but apparently in some way what I've done is I've changed up the process. So the process is no longer, even though again I'm offering up a chatos, I've done something l'shem ola or kima'asa ola. So the Mishnah simply tells me that Rabbi say, if you deviate in the karba, in the process of the chatos, and you do something ultimately again in accordance with the way that a ola is offered, then what is the status of the karban? It is psula. This psula, okay? Asa lemala. Rabbi say, now watch this. So remember again, as we've seen before, if there's one thing you're going to, if there's one thing we've learned, is that the blood of the chatas rabosai is sprinkled where? Lamata mechota sikra, below the red line of the mizbeach. Ola is above the red line of the mizbeach. I'm now offering a chatas, but asa lamalo, I sprinkled the blood above the red line of the mizbeach. Kima'ase kulan psula. So we'll say again, what this lashon means. Rashi says, "Asa lemalo kima'ase kulan kilomar kima'ase echad mikulan ha'amuran kan va'afilu kima'ase chatos l'shem chatos." So we'll say what the Mishnah is telling me is as follows: once I've sprinkled the blood above the line, then even if I do everything else, like an ola, like a chatos, it doesn't matter. Once you sprinkle above the line, then what Rabbi say? You're out, which makes sense. But when I say you're out, because remember, again, my intention over here is that what am I offering? I'm offering a chatos. Once you mess up the zrika and do the zrika in the wrong place, then what you do regarding the rest of the carbon almost becomes irrelevant. The carbon is invalid. Olas ha'ofer. We'll say now we're switching gears a little bit. What happens if I'm offering up an olas ha'ofer? Sha'asala ma'ala kema'asa ola l'shem ola. So we'll say what's happening in this case. I'm offering up an olas ha'ofer. I sprinkle the blood above the red line. Kema'asa ola l'shem ola. We'll say, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm offering up an ola, and guess what? I'm doing it correctly. What's the halacha? Kshera. Good. Next case. Kima'asa ola l'shem chatos. We'll say, what happens if procedurally I perform the procedures of an ola, but l'shem chatos? I go ahead and I have in mind to do it. L'shem chatos. Kshera. We'll say, ultimately, again, the carbon will be kashen. I will say, now understand, what this Mishnah I will say is drawing back on is something very interesting. If you remember, again, to the beginning of Maseches Zvachim, I will say, what's the halacha if you offer up a particular carbon, l'shem, for the sake of the wrong carbon? I will say, what's the halacha? The carbon works, it's valid. Ela shelo, ala l'shem bailim. It doesn't satisfy the obligation of the owners. There is one of the exceptions that Rabbi says is what? It's chatos. That's why, in the first case of the Mishnah, if you offer up a carbon chatos, l'shem something else, the carbon doesn't work. But watch what's happening in this case. In this case of Rabbi Sai, I'm offering up my ola. Now I'm offering up the ola l'shem chatos. What's the halacha, Rabbi Sai? Kshera. The carbon is still good. Also labayla, Rabbi Sai, as we said before, however, it does not discharge the obligation of the owners. Kema'ase chatos l'shem ola, or kema'ase chatos l'shem chatos. But say, what happens, however, if I take this ola, and I go ahead and procedurally, I perform the procedures of a chatos, which I will say in this case would mean what? I'm sprinkling the blood below the red line. Or I go ahead, kema'ase chatos l'shem ola, my kavanasa for a ola, or kema'ase chatos l'shem chatos. In these cases, ultimately, again, it will be psula. Because also remember, again, once you're messing with what? Once you're messing with where you're sprinkling the blood, that's where you get into a little bit of difficulty. Asan lamata kima'asa kulan. Furthermore, again, if you went ahead and asan lamata, you sprinkled the blood, kima'asa kulan, Rashi points out to here, asan lamata kima'asa kulan, kima'asa echar mikol elu, vafilu kima'asa ola l'shem ola, ultimately psula. Ultimately, again, the carbon will be pasul. So we'll say now, again, what we begin to see in this particular Mishnah, we establish halachos concerning ola sa'of, chata sa'of, then we'll say in this particular parak, what we are beginning to focus on ultimately is halacha l'maisa, what happens if there are deviations? What happens if you change it up procedurally? So we'll say what we begin to see is by chata sa'uf, you have very little ability to change, because ultimately, again, chatas has to be done l'shma. So once you go ahead and you begin deviating, ultimately, again, the carbon is pasul. Ola sa'of has a bit more leverage or a bit more room in order to go ahead and change it up, because an ola, even if it was offered up for the wrong carbon, ultimately could still be kosher. The one part that you can't negotiate, Rabbi Sai, is what? Is the zrika. Zrika has to be done in the right place. The moment that zrika is done in the wrong place, then halacha l'maisa, again, the carbon is compromised. Amad Vez, Rabbi Sai. Dishani b'mai. So asks the Gemara, when we talk about, again, look at Rashi for just a moment. Dishani b'mai, Rashi says, akima'asa ola l'shem chatos. So Rabbi Sai, ultimately, again, we were speaking about the case of a chatos ha'of, as a chatos ha'of, that was done kima'asa ola l'shem chatos. That was done in a ma'asa. The actions were done for ola, but ultimately, again, l'shem chatos. So where is the deviation in that case? Rashi says, akima'asa ola l'shem chatos koi, umibayle iza davar b'chatos asa kima'asa ola. So we'll say, here I'm offering up a chatos, but I'm deviating in that procedurally I'm doing something for an ola. So procedurally, what is it that is linked to the ola that is different than the chatos? The Gemara says, ilema dishani b'malika. So maybe you'll say, Abosei, that's what? What am I changing over here? Maybe I'm changing. That's right. What? Maybe I'm changing the malika, and maybe I'm making the malika of the chatas like the ola. So let's remember again. Let's go back for just a moment. Was there seen the malika of a chatas and malika of an ola? So malika of a chatas was is done how? One simen, head remains attached. Malika of an ola, so two simanim, head is detached. So says the Gemara, maybe the deviation I'm making over here is as follows. Maybe even though I'm offering up a chatas, the deviation is I'm doing the malika like an ola. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Doing the malika like an ola. And I'm detaching both simanim. And ultimately, again, detaching the head. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, Nima Delokra Velazar Shimon. I will say, now the Mishnah tells me ultimately again that it's going to be puzzle. So it must be that our Mishnah does not reflect the Vyar Velazar Shimon. Because remember again, Rabbi say, what does Velazar Shimon say? We just learned this before. This sheet of Velazar Shimon. The Amar Shemati Shemavdilin Bechata Sa'of. Because Rabbi say, Velazar Shimon says, I heard that you could even do a complete Malika by Chata Sa'of. In other words, that you could even fully detach the head from the body by chata sa'uf. So also remember again that we just did this on Samech Hei Amud Beis. Rav Zeru Shimon says, the Pasuk Philo Yavdil tells me I don't have to detach the head from the body, but if I did detach the head from the body, the carbon will still be kosher. So the Gemara says, Velo kimna, Dilo Krav Zeru Shimon. And I will say, ultimately again, we already said, that we do not establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Lo, the Shani Bahazah." We'll say, "What's the case?" The case is where a person made a deviation, ultimately again with the Azah, with the sprinkling of the blood. To which the Gemara says, "Girashi." For just a moment, it's in Rashi in the short lines, the second line in the Shani Bahazah. Shelo Hiza Ella Mitza. Shamitzuhi avodasol. We'll say that. What's the case over here? The case over here is he didn't sprinkle, rather elamitza. He squeezed out the blood on the mizbeach, because ultimately, again, squeezing out the blood, we'll say that is a din. Ultimately, in the ola and not the chatos. Hachinai mistabra. So we'll say this would appear to be clear that the case we're talking about again, we'll say, is where he did mitzui. He squeezed out the blood on the mizbeach instead of doing zriga. To which the Gemara says, "Hachanai mistabra midikani seifa." Because look at the end of the Mishnah. Aso lemalo kima asakulon. If he went ahead and he sprinkled the blood above the chota sikra, above the red line, kima asakulon psula, the carbon will be pasul. Vafilu kima asechatos l'shem chatos. Even if Rabbi say what procedurally he offered up the chatos and he did it l'shem chatos, so the shani b'mai. So ultimately, again, where Rabbi say is the deviation in this case? Ilema the shani b'malika. If you want to say ultimately again that he's deviating in the realm of malika, ha'amar mar malika b'chol makom b'mizbeach k'shera. Ultimately, again, the malika Rabbi say can be done anywhere on the mizbeach. Elalav the shani b'hazah. Rather, it must be able to say that the deviation in this case is a deviation of hazah, is a deviation of the sprinkling of the blood. Umid the sefer b'hazah. Now, the fact that the end of the Mishnah is speaking about hazah, reisha nami b'hazah. Ultimately, again, the reisha must also be speaking about hazah. To which the Gemara says, I don't know why you say that. Midi irya, maybe not. Hakidi isa v'hakidi isa. But say lav dafka that the reisha and the sefer have to be dealing with the same type of deviations. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ola sa'uf. So we'll say, what's the case of Ola sa'uf? This is the case of Ola sa'uf. Ola sa'uf. Shekriva ultimately kema'ase chatos. So we'll say, in this case over here, I'm offering up the Ola, but the Ola is being offered up like a ma'ase chatos. To which the Gemara says, Deshani b'mai. So what is the deviation that is being made over here? Ilema deshani b'malika. So we will say, maybe over here I'm talking about a case where I deviated in the malika. Maybe the malika is different. So we will say, remember again, what's the difference between the ola sa'of and the, again, same distinction. Ola sa'of, the malika is done cutting through both simanim, detaching of the head. Chata sa'of, the malika is done with one simon, the head remains attached. So the shani b'mai, what's the case? Or how am I deviating? Ilema the shani b'malika. If you want to say, I will say that my deviation over here is in the case of malika. Midiktoni seifa, Kulan in mitamin bebeis habliya. Now, both say the Gemara here is making reference to the next Mishnah, which we're going to see in just a few moments. The Sefer, the end of the Mishnah, says all of these cases, Rabosai, where what? Where I did Malika. So in all of these cases where I did Malika, so ultimately, again, the carbon is not Tamei Bebei Sabliya. Now we're going to discuss what that means in just a moment, Rabosai. Very quickly, I'll tell you this now, but we're going to chazer it in just a moment in the Mishnah. The halacha, Rabosai, is that if a person goes ahead and ingests a bird, which is an Avela, which means a bird which died without a proper Shechita, so the way it works is that bird carcass conveys tuma as soon as you begin to swallow it. It's a special halacha by bird nevelos. What the Mishnah is going to teach in just a moment, Rabbi Yosei, is that even when I shechted a carbon, or the kohen did the carbon, and the malika was an invalid malika, or it was the wrong malika, nevertheless, the bird is not mitame betuma beisablio. Again, we're going to define that in just a moment. Hey, so mitikani seifa kulan e mitame beisablio umolan ban. Yet you commit mila with all of them. Neima delok Rabbi Yeshua. It apparently does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yeshua. How so? Dik Rabbi Yeshua ha amar in molan. Because we'll say if it was the view of Rabbi Yeshua says that you do not commit mila, ella b'mitzui. Rather, you have to say that what? The issue over here, the deviation, I will say, was by the squeezing out of the blood from the body of the animal, of the bird. Emo Seifa, here's the issue. Look at the end of the Mishnah. Ola sa'of sha'asaw lemata, kima'ase chatos l'shem chatos. Peter Rabbo said, what was the end of the Mishnah? If you went ahead and what? You took an ola sa'of sha'asaw lemata, and you went ahead and you sprinkled it below the chotas sikra, kima'ase chatos, in accordance with the procedure for a chatos, l'shem chatos, and you did it ultimately again for the sake of a chatos, Rebbe Lazar Omer Moalin Ba, Rebbe Lazar says ultimately again, you do commit Mi'ilah with this bird, or you can commit Mi'ilah with this bird, Rebbe Yeshua Omer Ein Moalin Ba, Rebbe Yeshua says there is no Mi'ilah, to which the Gemara says, Deshani B'mai, so we'll say, where is the deviation in this case? Ilema B'mitzui, if you want to say the shinui is that you fail to go ahead and squeeze out the blood from the body of the bird, Rabbi Yeshua only holds Rabbi Yosei's position where there was a deviation in Malika, the mitzui mi amar. Did he hold of his position when there's just a shinui in the mitzui? Ve'ela b'malika. Rather, you have to say Rabbi Yosei that the shinui over here was a case of a shinui in the Malika itself. So the Gemara says, Reisha v'seifa b'malika. You're telling me then that the Reish and the Seifa of the Mishnah Rabbi Yosei are talking about cases where there were deviations in the Malika, and the middle cases where there's a deviation on the Mitzvah squeezing out of the blood. In Reish of the Seifa of the Malika, Umitziyasa of the Mitzvah. In Achinami says the Gemara, yes, that is correct. The Reish and the Seifa are talking about cases, Rabbi Yosei, where what? Where there was a deviation in the Malika, and the Mitziyasa, the middle case of the Mishnah, is talking about a situation where halacha lemaisa, there was a change ultimately again in the mitzui. So the Rambam discusses this case as well. I didn't put this in the attachment that I sent you yesterday. So this is in Parak Zayin, halachos vav and zayin. So let's listen to this. So first of all, the Gemara here discusses. Remember, I already showed you the Rambam by the halachos of olas ha'of. So now you are all proficient in the halachos of Ola Sa'of, correct? Everybody feels confident in the Ola Sa'of? Good. I'm just saying, if those who were here at 5:55 when we started the daf should feel confident in their halachos concerning Ola Sa'of. Those who were not, you'll look at the Rambams I sent out. Again, all seriousness. Everything I sent it out to you in the WhatsApp so that you should be able to look at it and be able to see it in print. Now Rabbi Yosei, the Rambam transitions. This is in Perek Zayin. This I don't think I sent out to you. This is Perek Zayin, Halachos, Vav, and Zayin. So listen to this. Chata Sa'of Ketzeri Nasis. So the Rambam discusses how do you go ahead and perform Chata Sa'of. So Ketzeri Nasis. Molek Osa Bekeren Dromis Ma'arabah. So we'll say, first of all, again, number one distinction, remember again, what corner of the Mizbeach was Olas Ha'of performed on? What corner? Southeast. Already we begin to see Chatas Ha'of is different because it's done southwest. Kimosha Be'arnu, V'yorid B'tziparnu Achiyachto Chasimonin Orubo Shal Echad Mehen, Ve'ino Mavdarosh Minaguf. Again, remember, Malika done, same thing. back of the neck, but you only do what? You only sever one of the simanim. You could technically sever two if you want to, but what? The head must remain attached to the body. You cannot separate the head from the body. And if you did separate the head from the body, then what? Puzzle. We both said the carbon is puzzle. Not only that, the loke. Listen to this, you get Malkis. So what do? You sprinkle the blood where Rabosai? From the Chuta Sikra, below the red line. And the remainder of the blood is poured out by the base. Fine. Skip a little bit. And I will say the squeezing out of the blood from the chatos is ma'akev. So ultimately, I will say, in the remainder of the chatos, remember again, the ola is fully consumed on the mizbeach. The chatos is consumed by the kohanim. So we'll say, so that is ultimately again the Rambam on chatos ha'of. Then the Rambam goes on to say, "Ketzer oches chatos of b'shas oros." I don't think we have to. Fine. The Rambam goes on with other details. I will say, I think we can leave that for now. So now you've seen the halachos ultimately again concerning ola sa'of, chatos ha'of. Good. Mishnah. The Kulon. So we'll say now we're going to transition to a little bit of a different discussion. The Kulon in Metam Beis Abliyah. So we'll say, what we are learning now is as follows. In the previous Mishnah, we learned about the deviations that ultimately invalidate the Chatas Sof and the Ola Sof. So pretty much again, now you are familiar with and proficient in the basic halachic construct for Chatas Sof and for Ola Sof. The Mishnah teaches me a very important halacha, which is, in the previous Mishnah, we discussed what invalidates the chata sa'of and what invalidates the ola sa'of. The chulam, in all of these cases, even if you did an illegal malika, the Bible says, what's an example of an illegal malika? I'm shechting, I'm offering up an ola sa'of. The Bible says, what do? Better case. I'm offering up a chata sa'of. What's an example of illegal malika? You cut through both simanim, detach the head. That's an illegal malika. Remember again, I will say, this is a very, very, very simple but important fact. By Ola Sa'of, you sever both simanim, detach the head. Chata Sa'of, one simon or the majority of that simon, and the head remains attached. Any case where you did an illegal malika, the kulon, in metamin bebe sablia. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi, the kulon. Afa pishin of sumili kasan, even though you did an illegal malika, the animal will not, the bird will not be in the vela. And therefore, again, remember again, as I just mentioned before in passing, the halacha is, that if you go ahead and you have a dead bird, it's not a dead bird, you have a bird that you were going to eat, and then what happens? It dies without shechita, or botched shechita, so the animal is in a vela. We'll say there is a special halacha by a bird carcass, which is, it conveys tumas nevela to the individual who is eating it, not by touching it, and not by holding it, but by swallowing it. However, what the Mishnah is teaching me is as follows. Once that bird has had a malika, even if it's the wrong type of malika, it is no longer a nevela. It's no longer a carcass, and therefore what? And therefore what? Does not convey tumah. That's the Mishnah tells me. V'kulon, imetamen bebei sablia. Furthermore, umolin bahen. And I will say, these birds, ultimately, again, will be subject to mi'ilo. Now Rashi points out over here, umolin bahen. V'af pechatos, hoel v'nifsalu, ve'in ban shas heter, l'kornim lo yotzi midei mi'ilo shen. I will say, now what it's saying over here is as follows. Even these karbonos, which are pasul, again, will not be nevela, so the malika itself removes it from the parsha of nevela. Not only that, but it's going to be subject to the laws of mi'ila, which also means what? Illegal use with consecrated items. Umolin bahen, chutz mechatos of sha'asa lemata, ki ma'ase chatos l'shein chatos. With the exception of the chatos of, which was done sha'asa lemata, also means what? Where the blood was sprinkled below the chutas sikra, And it was done kema'ase chatos l'shem chatos, which also means what? Which means what? It's a totally proper chatos. A totally proper chatos. Rashi says, chutz mi chatos ha'ov she'asa olamata kema'ase chatos l'shem chatos, v'ksheri v'yesh l'shas heter l'konim, v'shuv ein b'mila filas rabosei. Now this is actually very interesting. What the Mishnah just teaches me is as follows, which is, that halacha l'maisa, if you offer up a chatos properly, it is no longer subject to mi'ilah. But also, I want to tell you something very interesting about mi'ilah, a really riveting concept about mi'ilah. But say, mi'ilah only works, an item is only subject to mi'ilah, when at no point in time was it permitted for people. But once it was permitted to people, to kohanim in this case, it is no longer subject to mi'ilah. Therefore, Abba say, a chatas ha'of. So ultimately, let's a regular chatas ha'of. Remember, what do we just see in the Rambam? What happens after you do the malika, you do the mitzu, you do the zrika? What's the status of the rest of that bird, Abba say? It's consumed by the kohanim. Once it's consumable by the kohanim, it is no longer subject to the laws of mi'ilah. Laws of mi'ilah only apply to something that is not permitted to man. Even though this man, in this case, is the kohanim. Once it's permitted to people, it's no longer subject to mi'ilah. So therefore, Rabbi said, in this case over here, if you have a botched malika, so what does botched malika do? What does botched malika accomplish? Good. It's no longer an avela. Therefore, Rabbi said, if you were to go ahead and consume it, you would not contract tumah. However, what doesn't botched malika do? It doesn't remove it from the parsha of kachim, and therefore it's still subject to the laws of mi'ilah. However, once you offer up a proper chatasov, so what's I say? Proper chatasov, I do the regular malika, one simen, head is attached, I sprinkle the blood, below the chotas sikra, now that bird is consumable by kohanim. Once it is permitted for consumption by man, it is no longer subject to the laws of mi'ilah. Once it becomes permitted for consumption, no longer subject to mi'ilah. So, Mosai, you learn these facts, Mosai, are the facts that you are going to take with you throughout life. In your journey of Shas, these are objective facts. The laws of mi'ilah only apply when a carbon is not permitted to an individual for consumption. Once the carbon is permitted for consumption, like in this case, of the chatas ha'ov, which was done legally, now the meat is consumable by kohanim, the laws of mi'ilah do not apply. Beautiful, beautiful. All carbonas. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ola sa'ov sha'asa lemata kema'aseh chatas l'shem chatas. So we'll say, watch this case. I have an Ola Sof. So again, let's review. Ola Sof, Rabbi Osai, what do you do? What's the halacha Ola Sof? What does Malika look like? Full head detachment. Right? FHD. Full head detachment by Ola Sof. Just remember that. These are little, right? Full head detachment. So I've done Ola Sof. Shasa Lamata. Where is blood sprinkled by Ola Sof, Rabbi Osai? Where is blood sprinkled? Lamalam in Asikra, above the red line. So now I've done Ola Sof. Shasa Lamata. I sprinkled the sabros. Here's the problem. I sprinkled the blood below the red line. Kimase chatos. I procedurally done like a mase chatos. L'shem chatos. For the sake of chatos. So we'll say, what do I do in this case? Rabbi Elazar Omer Molibba. What's Rabbi Elazar says? It's subject to mi'ilah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ein Molibba. Rabbi Yeshua says, it is not subject to mi'ilah. Now we'll say, now let's understand their respective shitos. Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Uma'im Chatos She'in Mo'alin Ba Lishma. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. Now, so if when it comes to a Chatos that is not subject to Mi'ilah when done Lishma, Rabbi will say, now what does that mean? What does that mean ultimately again? So we'll say, first of all, take a look at Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mo'alin Ba Taha Olehi Umiyotziyam Mi'ilasa Shas Heter Lekwanim Einla. So let's remember again, what's happening over here? This is a fascinating case where you have an Ola Sa'of, that essentially Rabosai, the blood was sprinkled Lemata. Procedurally, it was done Kima'ase Chatos and L'Shem Chatos. Rabbi Eliezer says it's subject to Mi'ilah. Rabosai, and Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is actually very understandable. Why is it subject to Mi'ilah, Rabosai? Why is it subject to Mi'ilah? Because it never had a point where it was permitted to anyone. If a carbonic item never has a point where it is permitted to anyone, therefore what? It is still subject to mi'ilah. Ultimately, Rabbi Yeshua says, It's not subject to me'ila. Now Rashi says over Rabbi Shu Omer ain me'ila ain mo'alin techevan deshina shma u'maasel mikama l'shem chatas nasis chatas k'nefarshu gemara. So Rabbi said we're going to see what the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua is. Rabbi Yeshua says ultimately again, since it was changed l'shem chatas, a chatas ultimately again is permitted to kohanim. Once it's permitted to kohanim, it is not subject to me'ila. So we're going to discuss this more in the gemara. But the Mishnah actually brings down some of the machlokas. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Remember again, Rabbi Eliezer is one who says that it is subject to me'ila. What's his logic? We'll say when it comes to a chatas, now remember, if you offer up a chatas lishma, it is not subject to me'ila. The Rabbi will say, now why is that? That a chatas is not subject to me'ila? Let's analyze this. Why? But remember, what happens with a chatas? You offer up a regular chatas. What happens after you offer up a regular chatas? It's consumed by the Kohanim. Once it's consumable by the Kohanim, then what? It is no longer subject to the laws of Mi'ila. So we'll say, Mam Chatos, She'in Mo'alin Ba'lishma, Kishashina as Shema. We'll say, when you go ahead and you deviate, and you do a Shinui, Mo'alin Ba, it is still subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Or I should say differently, it is subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Then Ola, Shemol and Ba Lishma. So Rabbi say in Ola, when offered up Lishma, there is subject to Me'ila, Kishashina Eshma, Ein Odin Shima Aluba. All the more so when you deviate, it should certainly be subject to Me'ila. Arm the Rabbi Yoshua, Lord, Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that is a ridiculous argument. Im Amrit Bechazos Shashina Eshma, L'shem Ola. When it comes to Chatas, Rabbi say, ultimately, again, if a person made a shinui and offered it up, l'shem ola, shikein shina as shema l'davar shiyesh ba me'ila. Because ultimately, again, the deviation you made is from something that doesn't have me'ila to something that does have me'ila. Tomar ba'ola shashina as shema l'shem chatos. When it comes to ola, Rabbosai, where you made a deviation, ultimately, again, l'shem chatos, shikein shina as shema l'davar she'ein bo me'ila. You've now, Rabbi say what? Deviated to something which is not subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Top of Samech Zayin, Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, Vari Kodshe Kadoshim, what about Kodshe Kadoshim? Sheshachtan Bedarim, Veshachtan L'shem Kodshim Kalim Yochichu. So I'll say, Rabbi Eliezer, I'll give you an example, or I'll give you a proof. Kodshe Kadosh, Rabbi say, which are highest sanctity karbanos, which ultimately, again, Sheshachtan Bedarim, if you shechted them in the south, the Beis HaMikdash, and you shechted them for the sake of Kodshe Kadosh, Kodshim Kalim, lower sanctity, Kabbalah Sabosai, Yuchiko, this will prove the point. Prove which point, Sabosai. Take a look at Rashi, tap Rashi on Samach Zayin Medalev, Sheshachtan Bedarim, L'shem Shlamim. Sabosai, ultimately, again, if you took Kodshe Kadoshim and you shechted them in the south for the sake of Shlamim, Yuchiko, Sheshina Shma Maaseim. But say this will be a case ultimately where what? Where halacha lamaisa, you went ahead and you changed something that was kodshei kadoshim, and you shechted them l'shem kodshim kalim, in this case shlamim, and you deviated also the location, you shechted them in the south. Shekein shina eshmam, l'davar she'in b'me'ila, you've deviated, about saying, changed it to something that is not subject to the laws of me'ila, umolin b'hem, and yet Rabbi say what? It is subject now to the laws of Mi'ila. So we'll say you changed it to something ultimately again. You took Kodshei Kadoshim, which are subject to Mi'ila, changed it ultimately again to Kodshim Kalim, which are subject to Mi'ila. Umolun Pahen, Rabbi say, what is the halacha? The halacha tells you that they are still subject to the laws of Mi'ila. So which the Gemara says, Af ata al titame ala ola. Therefore, again, Rabbi say, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, do not be puzzled about the halachos concerning the ola. Even though you deviated and you changed the designation of the karma to something that is not subject to laws of Mi'ila, Shimaluba, that ultimately again it will still be subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Amal Rabbi Yeshua, lo. Im Amrit, Bekotche Kadoshim, Sheshachtan Bedarim, Veshachtan Lashem Kachim Kalim. So Rabbi Yeshua says, in the case of Kachim Kadoshim, which are highest sanctity karbanos, which were shechted in the south, and shachtan l'shem kachim kalim, and you shachted them, I will say, for the sake of kachim kalim, shekein shina es shmam l'davar sheyesh bo iser v'heter. So you now changed it to something that at times is subject to the laws of Mi'ila, and at times is not subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Look at Rashi. Last top, wide line on top of Rashi. Emureya Yeshua Mi'ila. Both say, its limbs are subject to the laws of Mi'ila, but yet the rest of the meat is not. Tomar ba'ola shashina eshmar ladavar shakula heter. When you go out and you change it to Ola, Rabosai, you've changed the Ola ultimately again to something that is kula heter. So we'll say ultimately again, we end off with this incredible machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua regarding what happens if halacha lemaisa you deviate. So we'll say we're going to see this gemara, this machlokus obviously in deeper depth in the Gemara itself, trying to understand what is the nature ultimately again when you deviate. When you go ahead and you make a change from something which is subject to Mi'ilah from something that is not subject to Mi'ilah, or vice versa, halacha lemaisa again, what is the impact of that change regarding ultimately the Mi'ilah of the animal? Machlokis Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Emir Tzashem will continue with that machlokis tomorrow. So we're davening. We're going to daven in the main shul, Emir Tzashem.